How to experience God's blessings in the midst of suffering. That's next on Sound Doctrine.
Now, someone said that Christianity is a banquet, but it definitely is not a picnic. It's not just, you know, easy living, you know. No way. You will suffer in one way or another, but you'll be blessed in the midst of that suffering, is what Peter is saying.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Well, we trust you're ready to dive back into 1 Peter with us here on Sound Doctrine. Welcome to the program. It's no secret that Christians in the past faced suffering and persecution. The first century Roman world was hostile to Christianity, to put it mildly, and we face it today, in case you haven't noticed. We can count on the enemy coming against us. So how should we respond? 1 Peter chapter 3 answers that for us. Let's explore that scripture together with Pastor Jeff Johnson.
Going to be back with Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, because this is important to this morning more than ever, especially in the days that we're living in. So 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 14. Now remember, Paul was the apostle of faith. And remember, John was called the apostle of love. But Peter was called the apostle of hope. And so that's what Peter's bringing to us as we're going through Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. I love that, just that thought. What are you talking about? Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So knowing that these things are coming to pass, knowing that we're in the end times, the last days, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, on guard, because of what's coming down. We need to be in prayer. And then notice verse 13, he says, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So in the midst of knowing these things, in the midst of living in the end times, we can rejoice because why? We're partakers with Christ's sufferings. And if you remember how he suffered, you're going, what? What does this mean? But there's joy in suffering for the Lord, in living for the Lord. And this doesn't mean that God is giving us an armor so that no one can touch us, you know, and that's why we're rejoicing. No way. Peter is preparing the church for suffering, real live suffering. Remember, Paul suffered so much in his ministry. Over in, just jot it down, Philippians 3, verse 10. Remember Paul's cry, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection on Easter. That's the main scripture, right? And then he adds, and hardly anybody talks about it, the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, I want the resurrection power, not the fellowship of his sufferings. But that's what he said, being made conformable into his death. So experiencing the death of self. And the Bible says that in the world, we're going to have tribulation. I mean, if you're a part of this world, you're in a place of suffering. There's suffering all around us, but especially for those that are called by the Lord. We have an enemy. Over in John 15, mark it down, in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 19. He says this, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I have said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will what? Persecute you." You're in good company. Look what they did to our Lord and our Savior. Are we any different? And he says they're going to do the same to you if they get a hand on you. That's the hatred that we're dealing with here. And then in Romans chapter 8 in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril? Through all these things, we are more than conquerors. I'm persuaded that death, life, angels, principalities, power, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing is going to separate us, but we're going to go through it. Notice he mentions that. So Satan seeks to sift us like wheat. Remember, that's what Jesus said. "Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. And that when you really get this, I'm praying that your faith would not fail, but when you really get this, the importance of being filled with my Spirit, you're going to be a strength to your brethren." And that's over in Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. So, all who live godly, the scripture says, shall suffer what? Persecution. And we get one thing after another in the book of Acts. Persecuted, persecuted, persecuted. Horrible things that were done to God's people. So, we're hated. Over in Matthew 5:11, it says we're hated for his sake. In verse 11 of Matthew 5, "Oh, how happy are you when they shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Hopefully it's for his sake and not your sake that you're really going for it. And because you love the Lord and because you live for the Lord, you're getting persecuted. "For great are the afflictions of the righteous," the Bible says. Great are the afflictions. "But God's precious promise is that he will deliver us out of all of our enemies, all of his plots, his plans, his traps." And then we read it all the time in Psalms 34. It says, "All of our fears, all of our troubles, all of our afflictions, no weapon," Isaiah says, "is formed that will triumph, against you." No weapon. So God's for us. Who can be against us? Now, going back to 1 Peter, look at chapter 5 of 1 Peter. You're there. And in verse 7, he says, "Cast your care upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, vigilant again, because your adversary, the devil, it's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour." He always goes after those that are behind everyone else. The sick, the lame, the new ones, the babies. You know, he's going after the weaker ones. "Whom," he says, "resist steadfast in the faith." And then in verse 10 he says, "But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, complete, establish, and strengthen, and settle you." So the word suffering is all constant through Peter's epistle, that there is suffering. And if we would live the good life and be zealous for good, we can count on our enemy coming against us. Look what happened with Job. I mean, what a story. And of course, again, in Psalm, that Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "And the angel of the Lord shall camp around them that fear him, and he delivers them." Delivers them from what? From suffering. Job is a prime example of someone who suffered so much. Even his wife turned against him. His friends turned against him, but the Lord blessed him. He'll put a hedge around us and deliver us. Do you remember the three Hebrew kids that were threatened by the great king there in Daniel? Daniel in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, and these are the three that refused to bow, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." They stood up against this king that was going like this, thumbs down. And they had no fear. Why? Because they knew God would deliver. And if he didn't deliver, it didn't matter, because they would go right to be with the Lord. So that is a deliverance in and of itself. And I know that many who were going through persecution felt the same way. No fear, because God's love drove out all that fear. Perfect love. So he is faithful. Now let's go back to our text, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. "But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So Peter's, again, preparing them for suffering. And if you suffer for his sake, because you're serving the Lord, because you're seeking to do good, you're seeking to be a witness, you're not doing it for your own sake, you're saying, his will be done in my life. Now, someone said that Christianity is a banquet, but it definitely is not a picnic. It's not just, you know, easy living, you know, no way. You will suffer in one way or another, but you'll be blessed in the midst of that suffering, is what Peter is saying. Peter, in Acts chapter 5, has a testimony to give towards that, because in Acts 5 and verse 40, it says this: "To him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them," and this is Peter and John, they did a good thing. They were a part of an incredible miracle, and yet they hated them, and they took them apart and beat them, and commanded that they should never speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And then in verse 41 of Acts 5, it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." They went out of there beaten, but not overwhelmed, not overcome, not depressed, but rejoicing, because that works in with God. And if you're serving the Lord, that's going to work for you. That's going to be a part of your testimony, because the Lord just has a sweet way of being right there in the midst of that suffering and flipping it. And that's the testimony that he had. Beaten. Now, can you imagine? They're taking you and you're going to beat you. That's terror, isn't it? Especially when they use a rod and they begin to apply that rod. That's terror. But he said he's going to keep you from that. But it turned out rejoicing. Remember when Paul and Silas were beaten? They were in the stocks after many stripes. They prayed. They worshiped. I mean, who does that? And God delivered them. You know, see, you're doing it for the Lord, so the Lord gets you to focus on him, and he brings deliverance. He brings rejoicing. He brings joy to your heart in the midst of what's going on. Tertullian, an African church father, said this: "Prison does for Christians what the desert did for the prophets. It brings them to eyes on him constantly, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how bad the suffering." So prison for the Christian brings forth deliverance. In other words, the lion is all roar and no bite. You know, that's the enemy. That's the fear of this world. It's all roar. It's all in your face. It's all what we're doing right now. And God just supersedes that. And he just comes against it. He might try to hurt us physically, but he cannot harm us. Remember, Daniel in the lion's den, he just stood there. And those lions just walked around. And they were hungry. But God's protection. He is with us. He's Emmanuel. But why does God allow these sufferings, these things to happen? There's an old saying, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. There's something about Christians being martyred, being tortured, being persecuted, that flames the church. You know, you might do away with 10, but there's 100 more in their place. You can't stop the flow of God. And the blood of those martyrs just raised the church up. Over in James, you're a few pages away, but over in James chapter 1 and verse 2, James 1, 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Different temptations, into persecutions. You know, you're being, you know, poured out, so to speak, and tempted. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, complete work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So the whole purpose of suffering is that his work of patience would be multiplied in our lives, that we would know what it is to wait upon the Lord, renewing our strength, that we would know what it is to connect and just to let the Lord be glorified in and through the suffering. Over in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in our tribulations, Paul says, also knowing that tribulation works patience. And when patience is worked out, it brings hope. So God uses suffering. It's evident. Do you glory or do you freak out when you suffer? If it's because of the Lord, I would say you're glorying, not freaking out. Over in Psalms 42, verse 5, 42, 5, mark it. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? David was speaking to his own soul. Everything was coming against him. He was surrounded by Saul's army. He was dying of thirst. He's out in the wilderness. He found a place, and he hid out there in a cave. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. Why art thou disquieted within me? Why am I so bummed out? Hope thou in God. He's on the throne. He's still in total control. Understanding that. The fear of man has always been a snare. The fear of man. Don't have a fear of man. Peter had a fear of man, and what did he do? He denied the Lord three times because he figured, you know, if he said no, he doesn't know the man. No, I don't know him. I never know. And this is a maiden is threatening. Well, because she's going to turn around and says, he's one of them, you know. He was afraid. And look where it brought him. Crushed him. It was horrible. Peter here is giving us a sevenfold appeal. And I want you to notice this as we go along. Number one is for courage, if you want to mark these notes down. And this is for courage. Over in Isaiah chapter 8 in verse 12, Isaiah says, say ye not, O a confederacy, to all them whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. And then he says in verse 13, sanctify the Lord. Set him apart in your own heart, the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. You know, if you're going to fear anybody or anything, fear the Lord. That doesn't mean to be afraid. It means to reverence him who is in charge. That you bow your heart to him and you place him where it belongs, that he is God and in total control of whatever you're going through. No, we need to have the fear of the Lord. The church needs that reverence of God. It stops the fear of man. Over in John's Gospel in chapter 14, we've said it so many times in this series, in chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be in fear. You believe in God, believe also in me." It's not all about God. It's about who God sent in his Son and what he did for us. Believe in me. It's important, because if you believe in him, you have everlasting life. You have his shalom. You have his joy. So eyes on him. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, Hebrews 12, 1. "Hey, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so many a cloud of witnesses." I mean, look at, all eyes are on the Christians. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that puts us down. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." So whatever the world throws at us, we're able to handle. And the world is looking to the Christians. How are you handling this? How are you handling the riots? How are you handling people stringing other people up and hanging them? How are you into these things that are going around? And it's going to touch us in many different ways. It already has in the psyche. It's already, the enemy's trying to play his games with us and get us to just totally be in fear with behind shut doors. No, no, no. We live for the Lord. We hear his voice. We obey him. In the midst of the chaos, we're there. Remember what he has done. He endured the cross, despising the shame. More than that, remember the storm. He came out and said, "Peace, be still." And it was still. Do you remember the demonic? The spirits ran. They fled from him. And people were delivered from demonic beings. He conquered death. He ascended to the Father. Look what he's done. Look what he's doing today. And what he will do. And that's that whole thing about this cloud of witnesses. And we need to set those things that are really hurting us in our lives, set them aside. It's luggage that we don't need to carry. And we need to just set it out for the rummage man or whatever. Set it out for the trash man and get rid of it. Start to focus. And start to be a light in this darkness that we're in.
Pastor Jeff encouraging us to be a light in a very dark world. To do so necessitates courage. We're talking about suffering today on Sound Doctrine, and we've titled this message, "Is Suffering God's Will?" Now let me pass along to you our toll-free number, which you can use to order resources from us, like today's message on CD. It's 800-353-7553. By the way, the suggested donation is $5. Again, get a hold of us at 800-353-7553 or access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. More and more people these days are accessing teaching through their mobile devices. If that's you, check out our app. Do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and start listening to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet today. Jesus knew that his death would satisfy. He also knew that each one of us would have to make a choice. It's a frightful thing to die without hope and be unprepared to face the consequences of living a reckless life. At the same time, it's a glorious thing to die in hope of eternal life, to trust the victory Christ won on the cross when he uttered his final words, "It is finished." Today, we'd like to get a timely resource into your hands written by Calvary Chapel pastors. It's a book called Because He Lives. We'll send it your way for a suggested donation of $5. We can walk you through the ordering process at 800-353-7553 or get it online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Please also remember that it's your financial support that helps to make these studies possible on your station and others like it. Your contribution is an investment in the lives of so many listeners that make it their aim to build their lives on the sound doctrine contained in the Bible. So thank you very much. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click donate, or call 800-353-7553. Well, there's much more to come in this book of 1 Peter. Make plans to join us each day as together we open and study the Word with Pastor Jeff. Sound Doctrine is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So far.